Hello, and welcome to the Five Core Life podcast with Will Moore, founder of More Momentum. Today's episode, we're talking about divorce and how you can overcome a victim mentality in order to move forward in your relationships. We sit down with formerly Heidi Powell, now Heidi Lane, as she talks about her own experience going through her own divorce and how she's managed to navigate all of the feelings and emotions that come along with that process. If you haven't already, go ahead and pound that subscribe button so you get notified when episodes air. Are you ready to fire on all cylinders? If so, let's go.
Ed, there she
Hi.
Is.
Hi, how are you?
Well, don't you look gorgeous today?
Oh, it's the lighting. I'm in a really great room with a lot of lighting.
You Lighting's
look
great.
Handsome right? too, yes. How are you doing? I feel like I have to hold this phone because it's not getting my face right. There we go. You know, I have to say, you are the first person to introduce me as Heidi Lane. Everybody else introduces me as Heidi Powell. So, and my real name is actually Heidi Lane.
I know. And we'll, you know, we'll talk a little bit about, it's an interesting, I don't know if you know, but I've introduced your current boyfriend.
Yes.
Interviewed your current boyfriend.
I do know that. Yes.
And I actually also interviewed your ex-husband, where the Powell comes from. I don't know if you knew
really?
That.
No, yeah. I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah. So, but you know, and it's my wife actually. So she's, I admittedly, I'm not super caught up on things that are going on in the world.
I get it.
You know, but I do love a little juicy gossip here and there. And she pointed out to me, not that this is juicy, but it's a little juicy. She's like, you know, you interviewed this person and then she's dating this guy and they're in this. And then I was
There's
like, well,
a connection.
Girl,
we need to throw her in the mix.
I was like, that, you're right. It's like life is like, you know, you move, you grow, you're with this person, you're with that person. So I know. Based on, you know, just looking at things and Instagram, although Instagram, as we all know, can be deceiving. So I'll let you tell you in your own words. It looks like you're happy, you're healthy, you're doing great. So please, Heidi Lane, tell us about you.
Oh, thank you.
And what's going on? Give us some background and then kind of what's going on in your life right now and what you're working on.
I am happy and I am healthy and I feel like I'm at in the best place that I've ever been in my life. And it's interesting because I have been through so much hard. I've actually been through two divorces, which has been interesting and hard and things that I didn't necessarily choose. And in those moments, in those low points, it felt like I was never going to make it through. But on the other side of that, when pushing through, when working on myself, I have become, I believe, the best, happiest version of myself. But for anybody watching that doesn't know these men that you're talking about, my ex-husband was Chris Powell. And Chris and I were married for 10 years. We actually came together at a really low point in both of our lives. He was fresh off of a drug addiction, a painkiller addiction, and I was recovering from an eating disorder and a divorce. And so he and I met at a self-improvement seminar, ended up creating a TV show and really a fitness empire around helping people lose half their body weight over the course of the year by focusing on the mental, emotional side of real transformation, not just diet and exercise. And so that's where I think most people might know me from. And then, as you know, fate would have it, Chris and I, our marriage didn't work out, but our friendship and our business partnership and our co-parenthood has really well. And I ended up coming across, you know, meeting up with an amazing man named Dave Hollis, who had just been through his own journey. We became fast friends that could share in similar pain and, you know, what we were going through.
It's kind of a similar parallel story there in a way, right?
Yeah, it is. And what's funny is, I don't know how much you know of this, but we met because Chris and I had announced our divorce May last year, which we had been going through a divorce for nearly a year prior to that. We just had not told the world because we wanted time for our family to process.
Yeah, divorce is hard enough. And then you got to like tell everybody.
It is. Yeah. And I didn't want my kids dealing with, you know, teachers at school asking questions and friends saying things. And so it was hard. I mean, my first two had already been through a divorce before. So Chris and I lived together for a while and just kind of separated spaces. And we announced in May, and I had actually just done a book endorsement for Dave, his book, you know, March of that same year. Didn't really know the guy, just knew him from Instagram, read his book, loved it. And then I saw he and Rachel had announced their divorce. And a couple months later, he had said, "Hey, I have Rise Together podcast. I would love to do a podcast on divorce if you're open to it." And so that meetup ended up being the podcast that never happened, because we both just sat there crying about what, you know, was happening in our lives. And
that would have been a good podcast.
That's what I'm like, why didn't we record? We
why
should
didn't
have.
We hit record on all this? This is what people, the vulnerability, that's what people want to see. Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense though. Yep. Continue.
Yeah. So, you know, that was a friendship that just, and Chris and I still work together. Dave and Chris are good friends, and we kind of just make it happen.
Wait, so, okay. Well, now I'm getting all sorts
I shouldn't say good friends like they hang out, but, you know, Chris did come out to Texas to visit and, you know, meet the kids that his kids were going to be around. And he's, you know, Chris is a good man. He's a good man. Dave is a good man. I'm lucky. I have people that drop their ego and put the kids' best interest first.
I literally just did a post this morning. Stay tuned. It's coming out Friday to theater near you. On ego and pride.
Yeah.
And what a huge, huge failure habit that is, that, you know, 99% of us get sucked into, because it's in our nature, right? It's all about me, me, me. And that whole victimhood, you know, if you're a victim in life, it's, you know, poor me, how could this happen to me? And then you start blaming and pointing fingers, and then you just, it just becomes a huge mess, and yeah, nobody wins, because then you're fighting with people and you feel miserable. It's those people, like, sounds like the two men in your life and you as well, that can sort of take that 10,000 foot view, because things aren't going to always work out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure you guys gave it the old college try. You don't seem like the type that just threw in the towel right away, right? And if you truly do that and you get to a point where you're like, you know what, this isn't working, it's like, okay, you have two choices. You can either stay together and be miserable to mediocre happy for the rest of your life, or you can kind of just pull the Band-Aid off and, you know, do what you need to do and move on. And that's, to me, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
Divorce has got a huge negative connotation in this, especially probably in the United States. But to me, it's like, okay, well, what's the alternative, right?
Yeah, and I think what people have to understand is what's right for one person isn't necessarily right for another, or what works for you isn't necessarily what works for me and for Chris, et cetera. Because I do know, like, that my second marriage with Chris, who's such a good guy, truly, he is such a good guy. I would have there were things that were not right about our marriage. Again, we were great business partners. There were, you know, all of these things were working. And so there was a big part of me that was focused on, it was my ego. I did not want to be the woman that was two times divorced. I didn't. And so I was trying in ways that I probably should not have. To make something work, not because it was best for Chris, but because it was best for my ego. Like, I didn't want the world to know that I couldn't make two marriages work. So that, it was really, really hard for me. And I knew in the back of my mind, I could see the way that Chris is wired and the way that I'm wired, we were just not meant to be married. Chris says he'll probably never be married again because it's just not for him. He has a, and I'm sure you got this when you interviewed him, he has a purpose. He has a mission on this earth. He is here to change lives and, you know, love on his family and his family. Like, I am his family. I'm just, you know, in a different dynamic. But I do know when Chris finally made that choice, it was a really hard choice for me to accept. But seeing the healing and seeing who he's become and who I've been able to become, our individuation has been the most beautiful thing. And I can see now that I was fighting something that I should have let happen a long time ago because I was scared of what people would think of me. More power to Chris or for whoever, if anyone is here and their marriage isn't right. If you're not happy in a place in your life, you have no obligation to stay there. You don't. It's like you can either stay there and be miserable or you can make some kind of a change. But it's not up to me to judge or anybody. It's up to ourselves to judge our actions. And that's the end of it.
You know, this is such an important conversation. And, you know, I never know how these interviews are going to go. And I'm not saying let's talk about this for the entire one. We'll definitely bounce around. But you know, I you know, you, I guess because you're a particular person who the word divorce was in the spotlight recently, and because you're a high profile name. And so it's like, okay, well, let's talk about this thing that's this dirty little secret that like ruins lives. Not only, you know, but like you were saying, like, in my opinion, it's far worse to stay in it. And I know so many people, and I'm not going to name any names, but we all do, of couples, marriages that should have ended a long time ago.
Yeah.
Anybody, any favors, including the kids, including the friends. And it's just like, come on, people. Right. And then you like you're just saying, you get caught up in this like ego and pride. And thank you for admitting that, because that's, we all have that.
Yeah.
We all do that. Right. So anybody that says, but at a certain point, it's those that can kind of like step back, like I was saying before, and go, this has to, it's either, you know, and one of the exercises I like to do is kind of go to your future, right?
Amen. Yep.
Right. And it's like, okay, where do I see myself in 20 years? Because the law of compounding is going to kick in. And if you're in an unhappy, unhealthy situation, it's like, okay, like, do you really want to be in that 20 years? And how's that going to look?
It's true. And I also don't think, so what we're talking about is how I feel. But I also think people listening need to beware of thinking that the grass is greener on the other side. Because it's a really tricky, delicate thing, because I believe I've seen people split where I'm not judging, but I have an opinion, right? Where I'm like, gosh, but what do they want in 20 years? Because I think, I mean, even in a conversation with me and Dave the other night, I had said to him, I said, you know, at some point, like, it's not, the flame does burn out. It does. Like, there is a point in time where the initial attraction and the
puppy excitement dogs and everything ice cream can't last.
Yeah,
forever.
It can't.
That's exactly right.
And I think, and maybe this is like, hey, this is the benefit of being married twice now that I have, because I can see it. And I do feel like that's part of why I wanted to push past that 10-year mark with Chris and keep going, because my goal, what I want in 20 years, what I want in 30 years, I want a family, Will, full of kids and grandkids and a husband. I want that. That is my goal. That is my why. I want a big, happy family. And I know that in order to get there, I'm going to have to endure those times where marriage doesn't feel right, right? But at the same time, just because that's my goal doesn't mean that somebody else's. But I think when you're sitting there in a marriage thinking, oh, I don't like this person, I think you need to stop and say, okay, like you just said, fast forward 20 years. Would you have a happy life with grandkids in your home where everyone could come and visit? And if so, it is worth working through the hard, because ending a marriage, going through an identity crisis, starting a new relationship, multiple relationships before you find the right fit, is really difficult. It's, you know, it's not as rainbows and butterflies as you think. So I think before you pull the trigger, you really got to make sure there's something, it's something that can't be worked through.
So, oh man, now this is getting interesting.
Sorry. Am I pulling you way off topic here?
Not at all. There was no topic. This is, you know, we free flow. So that's a really good point. And I'm really glad you said that, because, you know, I think that both of us have valid points, and you took that flash forward, my Back to the Future exercise that I do with people. And, you know, I talk about in your different course, like we all have your mindset, your relationships, your physical health, your emotional health, your career and finances. And I say, you know, where do you want to be in each of these areas? So, right. So then you go to the relationships, you go to the significant other part of your relationship.
Yeah.
And I was saying, like, well, if it's not working, like, do you want, you know, where's that going to end up? And you're saying, well, in the greater scheme of things, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think this is what you're saying. Like, if your ultimate goal, because the puppy dogs and ice cream, what do you say, rainbows and butterflies. Rainbows and butterflies. I mean, it's literally science. That wears off. Like,
it
right?
does.
You're in this infatuation stage.
You got to recreate it. And, you know. It
doesn't last for anybody, right? So, but there's, and it's that in between. It's that, do you have enough in common to where you guys can grow together? And your friends and your allies versus like you're doing this every day, right? Like,
it's so true. And that really comes down to your core values, you know, and I don't, even looking at me and Chris, I hope he doesn't mind me dissecting these things. There's no right or wrong. There is no right or wrong. Both of our core values were so good and so well-intended, but Chris was right. They were just different. What I valued in life and what he valued and what I prioritized and what he prioritized were different enough to where the foundation of our relationship was always going to be shaky, which interestingly enough, on a day-to-day basis, Chris and I had so much fun, like friendship-wise. I mean, our Instagram stories, even when we were divorcing and the world didn't know, our stories were real. Like we were laughing all the time. And but when really rubber met the road and we were trying to plan for what kind of parents we were going to be, how our future was going to look, that's where there was such a disconnect in both well-intended ways, but just very different. So I think that is the core values is a big deal, big deal.
I think that's right. I think that's the marriage of the two things we're talking about. It's like, and I love also the whole, like, the grass is greener. That's a very, very important point.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, I think, I'll not say that part, but I think that whether you're a man or a woman, young or old, I think that there's that aspect. I was going to say when you're younger, I think it's tends to be the grass seems a lot more glistening. And then as you get older, you're like,
it's the grass kinda, is greener.
And I don't want to make it sound, that's what I almost didn't say. Cause I don't want to make it sound like, well, it almost sounds like you're accepting or falling in. It's not that. It's that, like, that infatuation and that stuff and that grass, but then that wears off and then you go, well, look at that shiny thing over there.
Yeah.
Like that's giving me those warm and butterflies and puppy dogs that I
like
had.
Those are hormones. Those are hormones.
Those are hormones.
They are.
There's a hormones and they're going to wear off no matter who. Like I saw somebody as we're talking here say, I've been divorced 3 times. I mean, I've known people that have been divorced 4 times. You know, if you're constantly just chasing that feeling, that's when you're in trouble. Because
I agree. And another thing I noticed, like, for example, and this is a thing I don't think I ever would have thought of because I was, again, trying so hard to fit a square peg in a round hole with my, you know, marriage with Chris. But also pace. Like I look at Dave and this is something like for he and I wouldn't say for either of us, it was like instant infatuation. It was something that grew. It was a friendship that grew and an emotional bond and connection that developed as we got to know what the other one was about, you know, and there was some skepticism from both of us because of what we've been through. But at the end of the day, like there is a pace, you know, that he and I both move at that is very similar in all those 5 core areas that you talk about. And even taking it back to biblical terms, it's like you have to be equally yoked. And that's a big deal. Chris and I were not equally yoked. We might have been 2 strong oxen, but the pace that we moved at was so different. That life was really difficult when we put the expectation of marriage on us. It's like you put that yoker thing or whatever you call it on us. Yeah. And it was like we were in deadlock quite often.
Not to dig deep, but if you don't mind, tell me if you do, you know.
Yeah.
Are there some examples of these types of things just so people watching that might be, you know, in these types of situations or relationships can kind of be like, oh yeah, you know, I see what she's saying, or, you know, identify their own patterns with somebody else?
You know, I don't know that I can think of an example off the top of my head without running through it first to make sure I don't make either person sound,
because
there really, isn't anything negative. An example, and Chris would say this, marriage was kind of not really, he wanted a life partnership when we met. He did. And he was very clear about that. Like, hey, I never want to get married. I worry that. And I kind of agreed. I jumped on board with his way of thinking. He said, I just feel like if you put the constraints of marriage on a relationship, his feeling was that it ruins it. And I, coming from more of a religious type background, I was like, yeah, cool. I'll go along with whatever. But a year and a half in, I'm like, you got to marry me. Like, we got to get married. And so we ended up getting married, like, very shortly after, because, you know, he was like, okay, let's give it a try. But our relationship was so friendship and work based. I managed him. I helped him build things. It was that first. So never were we marriage first. We were friends and business partners first. And over time, we're like, oh gosh, I think this is where we maybe get married, kind of a thing. And so that I will say, and for me, deep down, the little girl inside of me always dreamed about and wanted. Yeah. And my long-term thing is a solid marriage. It just is. I want a solid marriage. I want, or a solid family, whatever that looks like. And Chris, I knew from day one, it was, I'm on this earth to do something amazing. Don't get in my way, but let's do it together, kind of a thing. And so I'm like, gosh, I, you know, me trying to earn love, as we're all trying to earn love from different places, I decided to kind of compromise what was valuable to me to assume some of his values. Does that make sense? But he's such a well-intended person, and what he's doing in this world is huge. And how he treated, like he did his best with what he knew, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. And right, it's one of those things where, and I think that was a good way to answer. You know, certain, you just sometimes you're just not always aligned. And I want to make it clear, right? And so even if you gave examples, it doesn't mean one person's wrong and one person.
No.
And that's what, as a society, we mean.
No.
Right? We want to put people in boxes like, oh, I'm going to take his side, or I'm going to take her side. And it's like, no. Okay, so we all grew up naked and afraid. We all came out like, what's up? You know,
yeah.
And then we go through first, it's all these influencers come into our life. It's our parents, and then it's school, and then it's peers, and then it's media. And now social media is a huge, you know, and it wreaks havoc on our minds. And we put ourselves in boxes, and we do these things. And then all of a sudden, it's like, okay, I need to hold on to this. And it's, you know, I think that people tend to get caught up in that. Shoot, I actually forgot now I was going somewhere with it.
That's okay. What you were saying was great.
But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, point being, like, for you, I think that it's nice to know that, right, it doesn't, right, the right and the wrong, like, we're all just people that had different experiences, and our brains have been programmed to go one way through no fault of our own, right?
Yeah.
And the growth owners that take control and realize, you know what, I don't like some of the thoughts that I think and some of the patterns that I've developed. And so I'm going to change them. But a lot, kind of going back to that fixed victim versus growth owner, a lot of people just sort of fall into that and then they get caught in that. And when it comes to marriage, it's like you end up having all these, you're never going to be on the exact same page with anyone.
No.
Even my wife is a twin. She's a twin sister. I mean, they argue, right? I mean, it's like, and they're like best friends. They couldn't be more alike. But that's the point. Like, you're never going to see complete eye to eye with anybody, and everybody has these different experiences and sees things different. And so it's about, like, what my wife and I do is we actually have a list of agreements that we have.
Oh, nice.
It's like, there's this, because there's always gray area and it's very easy to make assumptions. And so it's like, she might think he's not picking up his coffee cup after, and he's leaving it there for me. He doesn't love me. He thinks I'm his mate. You know, I'm just giving examples.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas I'm just like, I just forgot because I'm ADD.
Yeah.
And it means nothing. Please just point it out. And okay, I'll grab it. Right. And that's just a tiny example, but there's zillions of those things in a marriage. And it's like, if you jump to conclusions and you start making assumptions about the other person, you're so screwed. But if you go, okay, like, they see it this way, I see it this way, let's get on the same page that we see things slightly differently. And especially when you're raising kids, like, you don't want to, like, give them conflicting signals and send them one way and the other. And that's the worst thing. You want to, like, what's best for our kids? What's the best way for us to agree to where we're now being a role model for our children, and we're handling, you know, in the universal principle type of way.
Yeah. I love what you just hit on, because it's true, whether it's in a marriage or out of a marriage, I think one of the most important things you can do, like you just said, is stop, take time, and step in the other person's shoes, is really what it is. And actually, that's the thing, you know, and any new relationship with Dave and I, it's like, we both understand there are things that the other might do that might make us feel one way or another, like your wife and your coffee cup example. But it's not until we stop, take time, and understand what their intention was or what they're doing that we can really have, you know, really find a way to, you got to get inside the other person's head. You do. And that goes with co-parenting as well. When I mean, it's, harder when you are co-parenting with someone and they're in another house, right? Because you don't have that day-to-day communication. But taking time to understand, okay, what could that text message have meant that Chris sent or that Derek sent? And where could their head be instead of jumping to that conclusion? That is huge. Peace can't exist if you don't take time to stop and understand what the other person might be thinking or what their intention might be. And intention is such a big thing.
I mean, amen. Right. And this is, to me, you know, what is something like, I don't know if it's 50% anymore. I feel like it's close with divorce. And, you know, one out of two people.
Might even be more now.
Yeah, it could be more. Right. And so you think about all the people, you know, the majority of these people, even the ones that are still in it, and obviously for the ones that are getting divorced, where it's like, I think a lot of them aren't doing that, where they're not taking the time to ironically get to know the other person. Whereas,
yeah,
like, what do you mean? I know my, it's like, yeah,
but do you
same patterns over and over where you're fighting about the exact same things and you're just stubbornly choosing not to see this is how this person's mind works. This is how they think. There's nothing wrong with them. They're not a bad person for that. This is how my brain works. So let's compromise and figure out a way to say we're both on the same team here. We want the same things, to be happy with each other and for our children and have a great life. So why we do this, you know,
you have to let go of your perspective. Like sometimes you have to be willing to let go of what it is that you're thinking. And I mean, because if you think of any argument, it's like when you argue, you are so busy proving your point, you don't even know what the other person's actually saying. And then they say something and you're like, I already told you that's not true. But they're, you know, you both are so set on your story and you don't even know what you want from it. It just, you know, sometimes takes one person saying sorry to open up that communication.
A higher self growth owner move. Like, I'm sorry. And repeating back to them, yes, I understand what you're saying. Like, holy, that is so hard to do.
It is.
At the end of the moment, it is so hard. And my wife, in fact, we actually have a hack for that, where if we're both super heated and like, cause we do, like, our walls go up, emotions are, and we're both in like convinced, we both like naturally want to go back. But it literally, 100 times 100 will not end well. So we've actually gotten to one of our agreements, as I was mentioning earlier, is actually to notice that and to sort of say, all right, let's separate.
Ooh,
let's
go in a different room
for a little while. And then her big thing is she likes to then take the time and write things out. And she'll literally shoot me a text. Like, I usually go down to the basement and she'll go up to the bedroom and she'll shoot me a text with exactly how she's feeling, where I can't interrupt her. And it's not in a fuck you way. It's like, this is where I'm coming from. And it changes the whole dynamic. Because then I'm like, okay.
See, that's so good. I need to take a page out of that book. I am somebody right now that I have a hard time letting something go until we can figure it out. Where this is actually, Dave and I were talking about this the other day. He likes space when we're trying to figure something out. And but I'm like, okay, but let's talk now. I don't like to stew on it. I don't want it to build, but that space and giving each other a chance to say what's actually on their mind and have the other person read it before they respond. I mean, that sounds like something I need to start doing.
It's huge. I'll tell you, it changes everything, and we're not perfect. Sometimes, you know, we'll both get caught up in it and we won't go to other rooms, but we do it. We're getting better at it. It's a habit, just like anything else. I would say habits don't care if they're good or bad, helping or hurting us.
Right?
Their thing over time. And this is one where I think most couples get in that habit of just, they each have their own ways of fighting. And typically it doesn't end well.
Typically it's not productive.
It's about control and power and ego and all these things. I know. Earlier. Right. And then, but if you can do that, it's just hard for her, especially sometimes. I'm easier to walk away if I haven't gone into like full, my top's blown. Like, I'm like, I need to walk away now or things just get weird. She wants to get it. I feel like I'm criticizing her.
No, again, it's okay.
How she's built. Probably no right or wrong. But she wants to, always talk it out right then and there. That's her.
Me too.
And it's very hard. And I think that's a womanly thing. I mean, not to get sexist and all weird, but don't be weird. But no, I do think that there's something to the fact that, you know, men like to go to their caves and separate and just, And then the women like to kind of like, let's get it all worked out right now. But when we had that agreement and she gets that and she does, I mean, it always ends well. Always.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, I'm texting her back. She's texting me. She's coming in and then she comes down and we, you know, we talk.
Gosh, literally a conversation Dave and I just had the other day, because I am somebody, I am like your wife. He is like you. And maybe it is more of a male female type thing. And it's just, I'm a fixer and I feel like, okay, well, let's just talk about it. Like, let's fix it right now. I'm a nurturer. Like, let me, and space is like, no. It's really hard for me.
Oh God. So again, next time I want you to do your absolute best. Cause just know that if you do this, your life is going to be better. Your relationship's going to be better. You're going to be happier. It's going to be a better role model for your children.
Yes.
And just try to catch yourself and get in that habit. I like to keep the top habits I'm working on. I'm building an app for it where it's going to be gamified. And it's going to be really fun. You're
right. Oh, cool.
The five cores of your engine are to get off of Earth's gravitational pull, you literally have to start developing the success habits and stopping your failure habits one by one, slowly but surely, in each of your
cores,
going to different galaxies and planets.
Do you get badges and stuff?
Oh, absolutely. It's totally gamified. And it's you level up your ship and you get coins, which you can then use to do all sorts of things. And I'm a gamer, so I'm taking all these elements, but not to get off track. What I'm doing, I keep an Excel sheet that I look at once a week. And every day I keep in my notes, literally just the top habits that I'm working on. And at the end of the day, I literally just grade myself in each one of them. And I don't like to put more than three, because if we overload ourselves, forget about it.
Yep.
And then I say, okay, how did I do today? And then I kind of reflect and I have a little place I can enter in, like best part of the day, worst part of the day. And that just helps to shine that spotlight on my life to be like, okay, this is what's going on. This is the good. This is the bad. Again, back to the future exercise. If you know these are your goals and this is where you want to end up in each of your core areas, like, you need to stop this one.
Yeah.
And so it's holding yourself accountable, because it's so hard to do. And like, it's just crazy to me how like they don't teach this stuff in schools. There's not really a universal system. This is why I developed the app to begin with, because what I'm doing right now, even though it's great, it still feels a little bit like homework sometimes. And so I wanted to be more fun and interactive. But there's nothing to hold that, because with now this day and age, with every shiny thing and every streaming, millions of streaming services and the internet and you know, social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, it goes on and on. It's like, it's so hard to like get an idea. It's one thing to get an idea. You're scrolling through, you read a quote and you're like, okay, that's cool. Yeah, that's it. That's what I need to do. And until 2 seconds later, you scroll to the next post and that's gone forever, right?
It's true.
You got to have a system.
There is so much stimulus out there. It's very easy to get distracted if you're not focused. I love what you do. I mean, that's a great practice. I might have to steal some of that, borrow it.
That's why I'm telling it. I want everybody to use that because it is such a great, it's helped me so much, because we all have things we want to work on. And how many times do you get to the New Year's resolutions and you go, oh man, I had that last year. Same thing as last year, because you think you're working on it and you kind of try here and there, but there's no system where you're like every single day. Cause again, it goes back to habits. Like, once it becomes a habit, it's automatic and you don't have to worry about it. Your brain's not using that energy to process that and to actively try to do that thing. It's just like brushing your teeth or flossing or going to the gym. It's like, you're like, no, this is just what I do. Right. But there's always that front loaded work in the beginning where it's like, okay.
Yeah.
And if you don't have an accountability system to sort of like say, okay, I did this again, and then kind of reflect on it. And then just having that helps you catch yourself. And that's the key. So you catch yourself in the moment when you take that action that's hurting you and others around you, making you less happy. And then you go, okay, I'm doing it. And then that helps you to start to catch it and hopefully stop it in its tracks and then replace it with something else.
I love that. I think a lack of accountability process is huge. And I think also one of the reasons people struggle having the same goals every single year is the goal that they set the last year and the goal that they're still setting this year is far too big for them to actually accomplish. And that is the number one thing that has people, I mean, we come from a world of weight loss. So why is it so difficult for people to reach their weight loss goals? Or why does somebody that's 400, 500 pounds get to that place when they've tried over and over and over to lose weight for many, many years? The number one reason is they have been setting goals that are far too large and unattainable for them to actually reach. And because they've set those goals and they've made those promises, they've made commitments to themselves and they have not kept them, every single time it chips away, there's a break in integrity. They are not doing what they're saying they're going to do when they say they're going to do it, not just to everybody else, but most importantly to themselves. And when we have a lack of integrity, when there's no integrity in the things that we do, when our word does not have much value, we don't love ourselves. There's no dignity. And that's the thing that is we always say, instead of when we would start with people on the show or anyone, I would say, yes, understand what your big goal is and let's be realistic about it. But now let's start with one teeny, teeny, tiny thing. We're not going to promise right now that we're going to lose 250 pounds. That's our goal. And we're going to understand what our goal is. That is the top of Mount Everest. And it's amazing. I don't want you to focus on that every day. What I want you to do is I want you to pick one small thing. One, we call them power promises. One power promise that you can do every single day, no matter what, to have you feeling like you can finally win again. Because like that, you said, every year it's the same goal. And every year we feel worse and worse about ourselves when we throw that goal out. And every year we tell fewer and fewer people about the goals that we're setting because we feel like we're failures. We feel like we really can't reach it. And when we feel like we can't reach our goals, we don't believe we can, we're not going to put forth the effort necessary to actually get to where we want to go. We just, over time, deteriorate until we figure out how to win again, how to create those small habits. So I love what you're doing.
I love it. And I love that you use the word integrity. I use that all the time. A lot of people just associate that with, like you were saying, your word and stuff, but it's your word to yourself. It's you make to yourself and holding yourself accountable. That's the integrity that's important. And it used to be, honestly, like we were just saying, I mean, not to let people off the hook, but being aware of it is important. Like back when our grandparents were around, or let's even go back a little further. Well, my grandfather actually was a horse and buggy, but even before that, so you wanted to get, you lived on a farm, most likely, right? And you wanted to get a meal, like, so you go into the cow and you're milking it. And then if you wanted the butter, you know, you got to do the thing to make the butter. And, you know, now you can literally hit a button and have milk and butter at your doorstep in 30 minutes. And it's like, it's great. Just like Stan Lee once said, with great power, though, there must also come great responsibility. Yeah. And being able to just get anything we want, for the most part, whether it's ourselves delivered in an Uber across the across the city or a package from Amazon, or I used to own a restaurant delivery service. That's where all this started at. So it was like a Grubhub. It was like a DoorDash type thing. That's what I exited. Yeah, I exited in 2019, and this is what I started doing. We sold our company for $321 million total combined. We merged, we grew, we sold it, and now we're letting Grubhub and DoorDash and Postmates and Uber Eats fight it out.
So I
know firsthand. I mean, convenience is great. I have no problem with technology, but you need to be careful not to get caught up in that fixed victim, like, oh, well, the world is going to come to me because I can get most things like this. And it's harder, in my opinion, than ever, like I was saying, our grandparents, to have that integrity, because you don't have to. There's so many things.
You don't have to.
Low-hanging fruit that you don't have to go out and get and earn yourself. Yet that's what life is. That's what happiness, that's what growth is. The journey, and it's the growth, and it's the going out and being like, this is my goal and I'm going to do it, and having to work for it, and then feeling that feeling of, yes, I did it.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying. And it reminds me of, you know, well, I mean, there are so many people that reach a goal and then they're not happy still. And it's like, why and how can we actually reach a goal and still not be happy? How can I lose 200 pounds, for example, and be more miserable at 200 pounds lost than ever before? And I believe it's because they did not find joy. They didn't find the value in the integrity and the small things along the way that actually mattered. They put so much value on losing 200 pounds or making $1 million or becoming the CEO or whatever it is, whatever these goals are. They thought happiness was over there, when truly happiness exists in learning how to live a life of personal integrity. That is where the happiness is. So as you are on your way to your goal, you're like, gosh, I feel so good about myself. It doesn't even matter if I step on the scale and the number is where it needs to be. I tell myself what I'm going to do every day and I actually do it. Therefore, I am winning and I can do anything. My word is literally gold. That's where happiness is.
That's it. And to me, I totally agree. And the more you're able to do that, the happier you're going to be. So I have this thing I call, it's my equation of life. And it's your repeated actions your belief system plus your repeated actions plus time equals who you will become. And it ties into everything we're talking about right here. And it, to me, it's like, that's everything. It's your belief system, meaning like kind of like your mindset. Like, are you
your thoughts? Yep.
The thoughts, right? Like, what are you focusing on? Like, do you have goals? Do you know where you're going? Like, are you taking actions on the right things? And then it's those repeated actions. And then you can't do this, right? You got to let the law of compounding kick in. And, you know, it's just like if you want to lose weight, it's not going to happen tomorrow. But you stop eating donuts and cheeseburgers every day and you switch to, you know, the alternative of something again. And I always tell people, make sure it's something that you enjoy. I mean, you're more health expert than I am in terms of this, but something everybody, there's so much choice out there. That's another advantage of living today. Like, you don't have to just like eat broccoli or, you know, like you can, there's a million things you can eat that are healthy that work for you. Right.
Yeah.
Are still going to taste good and eventually even taste better. But the law of combat is going to kick in and you're either going to gain 100 pounds in the next 10 years or you're going to, you know, lose weight. And it's, that's your physical health core, but that's in every core of our lives, our relationships, our mindset, our career and our finances, our emotional health, our giving back. Like, that's all going to compound. And at the end, again, going back to that Back to the Future exercise, it's like, where do you want to end up? Because that's what you're doing now. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. So good. And you just touched on something when you said repeated actions over time. Right. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's so important, but I think what people struggle to understand sometimes is repeated actions means choose your path and don't jump to another. Like, I think we get so, I mean, we talked about it with scrolling Instagram and, you know, loving this quote and wanting to make it our mantra. Oh wait, but there's that thing over there. And then there's that thing over there. When we talk about that, even with regard to, especially with regard to physical transformation, it's like repeated action over time actually equates to success. But that repeated action needs to be a plan that you choose. You need to stick to that plan. You need to commit to the plan. You need to go all in, trust the process. Know that it might not be as fast as what you see your friend Jim or Sally doing over there. But by jumping from thing to thing, you are literally starting over every single time. So committing to a plan and going, it goes back to marriage. Like we're talking about every time you jump marriages, you got to freaking start over. Trust me.
That's it. And that's why I call it the equation of life. Cause like everything kind of, to me, just it all boils down to that. Like anything in life, any action, any choice, like it's all, we are our habits are us, and it's all going to compound over time. And like you were saying earlier, I think it's super important to reemphasize, you got to start small. You got to have small goal. I talk about goals. Goals are, this is another thing. Don't get me started. The educational system. One of my goals is to revamp it because it's ridiculous. They don't teach you stuff like emotional intelligence and
habits,
habits and balancing your checkbook and just basic shit you need as
people.
And so, I mean, these things, it's so important just to remember that like your habits are going to form who you are. Start small, figure out, you know, shine that spotlight on the thing, the ones that you've developed that aren't great. It doesn't make you a bad person. Not bad because you've developed them. Again, it's the society, it's the influencers around you. It's how things have played out, whatever. But now the growth zone, you can either be a fixed victim and be like, oh, poor me, my brain's broken, there's nothing I can really do about it, I'm born the way I am, my body's this type, you know, or you can go, okay, let's get to work and start chipping away one at a time, slowly, like you said. That's the key, because we do not equate well. When we get overwhelmed, it's over.
I love it. I actually just taught a lesson in my coaching group two nights ago, and we talked about a very similar thing. And talking about how our, that fixed mindset, a lot of people don't realize though how our thoughts and the thoughts, we actually get to choose our thoughts. You know this. We get to choose them. We have between 12,000 and 60,000 subconscious thoughts running through our head any day, which is just insane and overwhelming. And of the 12 to 60,000, 80% of them are actually negative. And those negative thoughts are based on what our past experiences and failures have been. They're things, they're voices that are telling us who we can or can't become. And if we can acknowledge that there are 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts running through our brain at any point in time, we can actually listen to that chatter that's always there, and we can stop it and replace a negative thought with a positive one. Those thoughts become emotion. Truly, like when we have a thought, think of how much emotion we'll feel if we start thinking about the past and the crap, the mistakes we've made, the shame we feel. Think of how it actually changes our emotion at that moment. And then the emotion changes our action for the day. Mm-hmm. We start living into that negative emotion of our past, and that those actions become our habits, and our habits become our destiny, and it our character and our destiny. And it's like, if we can just stop it dead in its tracks, replace it with a positive thought, experience positive emotion, from that positive emotion, create a positive action. That action will create a habit and a more positive character and destiny.
God. I mean, you're welcome, people. You know, so for the 200, currently 300 or so listening, but good news is then we do this, we turn this into a podcast at Five Core Life. And then, so you can listen to the whole thing for those that didn't see it or want to hear this again. And it'll be an IG live, and then we'll cut up the little snippets of the gems, which I feel bad for my editor, because he's going to have, I feel like, just nugget after nugget.
Oh, you're so nice.
So thank you. Yeah, that's so right on. So let's, the way I like to end, we're running out of time. I always like to ask, speaking of habits, what is the one habit that you feel that you're proud of, that you feel you've developed, that has allowed you to get to where you are in life, and you're confident is going to continue to take you to the promised land, to where you want to be?
Every single day, this is so easy for me. Every single day, I have a gratitude practice. Every single day. Every single day, I name 5 things that I'm grateful for. I say 1 nice thing about myself, which is really hard for me, believe it or not. It's a thing I've had to train. I say 1 goal that I'm working on, and then 1 thing that I can do today to get me even an inch closer to that goal. I believe a grateful heart is, that's really the only way I want to live. It will completely shift and turn your world around. It will change how people view you. It will change how you view people. I mean, it's the difference between living a beautiful life or an ugly life.
Amen. I love that. Gratitude's huge. Morning routine in general, I think, is a huge, huge success habit, right? Because it's like, what are these things you're doing to get you? You're starting your day. You're rocking. Right? That analogy of my app that I'm using, and then these cylinders of your engine. It's like, okay, we're wrapping up. Like, how are we going to start it? And I have a mantra that I say to myself. And then at the end of it, which is like just the main things that I know I'm working on and that I want to remind myself of on a daily basis. And I'm so putting these things fresh into my brain. And then at the end, I too have that gratitude list. And it's, that's huge. Because it's so hard to feel sorry for yourself, to be a fixed victim, when you're thanking the universe for everything.
Yeah. I love it. So good.
Well, God, I mean, I feel like we could talk for literally 10 more hours. and I should probably have you on again. And I would love to keep in touch. You're awesome.
Thank you.
You're by far the best. Don't tell them I said that. And you know,
I won't tell them.
I'm kidding. No, this was really great. And so say hi to Dave.
Thank you. I will.
And stay out of Chris, since you guys are still good friends. Awesome guys. Agree. Like, and I love that you guys are all in a stage where you're being adult about it. And God, because for the kids especially, that can get really ugly. So kudos.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Will. It was so good to finally meet you here. Thank you.
I know. We've been doing this back and forth. So, all right. Well, awesome. Have a great rest of the day. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Go drink a margarita, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay.
That's it for the Five Core Life. If you haven't already, go ahead and hit that like button on this video and pound that subscribe button so you get notified when new episodes drop. Also, please fill out the free Five Core Life Evaluator quiz. It's a great way to get a baseline of where you are in the five cores and which of the five cores you need support. In addition, you'll get some actionable advice that you can apply and start improving your life in the areas that you need it most. That's it for today's episode of the Five Core Life podcast. Have a wonderful day.
Get moving. Gain momentum. Join the movement. Join Emmett by going to moremomentum.com to take a free life evaluator quiz on where you currently stand in each of your five cores.